Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Many of you cherish and love that gospel reading that we read just a moment ago. It's one of those few pieces of the Bible that's not just known and beloved in our churches, but also known and beloved by a tremendous number of people who have only cultural understandings of who Jesus is. They might not understand much of what we mean by new life in Christ, forgiveness of sin, new creation, but they know this story. And I think they, along with us, love the aesthetic of this story, find it fascinating and beautiful. This is how Jesus was born, in unimaginable and surprising ways. We look back and think, isn't it amazing? And we wonder in awe at such a miracle that happened so very long ago. But I wonder if we ask, Where are we in this text? Is this just a story from the long past? Is the gospel just telling us some interesting points about Jesus' birth? And of course it does tell us the story of Jesus' birth, but maybe the point for us is a little closer to home. I believe this text is not only informational, telling us what happened, but invitational, asking us into this story itself, saying that there is good news for you here. To explore that in my reflection this evening, I'd like to focus on just one verse from this reading that says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." It's what the angel says to the shepherds. And there's a lot of different ways to think about this verse this evening, and many different interpretations, but tonight I want to focus on just one. The angel has appeared and told the shepherds that the long-awaited Messiah is here. It's the Savior, and they surely felt in need of saving. The world they lived in was one of pain and suffering. They resided in an occupied nation. The economic realities of the Roman Empire, especially in the provinces, make it probable that up to 90% of the people were either actually or practically enslaved. It was a hard life. And these shepherds, even more so. Our text today says they lived in the fields. I don't think that was an exaggeration. These are people without homes. So when the angel says that the Savior has come, they surely would have understood that they needed the saving. They needed some help. And what's the sign that this Savior is finally here? Someone who could actually help you. What's that thing to latch onto so we can know that a Savior has been born? Help is on its way. And it says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." There's nothing saying that the manger is special, the barn in which it's set is special. The baby looks anything different from other babies. And I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about a sign from God, I tend to think of something a little bit more. I tend to think of signs as big, powerful things that clearly show this is God who is acting. But a baby lying in a manger, sure, it's unexpected. But normally I wouldn't call it much of a sign. In fact, the sign in the story, and it's certainly there, would seem to fit better with the angels appearing at all. The fact that this angel shows up, a whole company of heavenly hosts terrifying these shepherds, that seems like a far more convincing sign. But the Gospel of Luke has for us today, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." How is that the sign? Again, unexpected, but not something unthinkable. For a baby to be in a manger just takes someone to place a baby in a manger. But what if we look at the sign less on the second half, on that content, there will be a baby in a manger, and more on the first half? You will find a child in a manger. You actually will find it. Find a baby in a random barn somewhere in the town of Bethlehem, an agrarian town. How many barns are there? How many mangers? And in fact, it wasn't just what we would usually consider barns, but almost every house had at least a small area for one or two animals. So basically, every home. And finding a baby in one of them was not something one could really do at 100 yards. You'd have to go from house to house, barn to barn, trying to see if there was a baby inside. And even, frankly, if you had the time, you know, these belonged to people. They may not have been incredibly thrilled of these shepherds who live outside to come rummaging through their barn. And if finally confronted, I'm not sure the argument, "Oh, don't worry, I wasn't trying to steal anything. I was checking to see if there was a baby." I don't know if that would have won them over. But they actually do it. They find the child. What seems a nearly impossible task is accomplished. So the sign that this is the Savior is a sign the shepherds themselves participate in. It's not just sit and watch God's action, but be enlivened. You have a part to play. God is at work, but not so you can watch on the sidelines, but you can be actively involved. These shepherds are asked to do what's nigh unto impossible, and they pull it off. A few verses earlier explains how. When the angel first arrives, it says, "An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Glory is that which emanates from the very presence of God. It's usually depicted as light, that which shines from a source. It's not the source, but it shines from it. It's what exudes from God's presence upon them. Later in the story, it says that the angel departs, but it never says the glory of the Lord departed from them. The presence of God departed from them. The glory of the Lord is upon them. They're able to act in this world and be part of this sign. You will find a child lying in a manger. They're able to because God is among them and with them. They accomplish what they might not have thought possible because it's God who's acting through them. In Lutheran theology, we use the phrase, God works through means. The means of grace in this world come through a variety of places, but one of them is through people. How we express God's grace to one another. This isn't a passive sit and watch God work in the world. Look back at that historical story from 2,000 years ago, but it's instead a charge to all of us. How is God acting through us right now? Our theme this fall at Central Lutheran has been re-engage. Coming out of the pandemic, being more and more comfortable being around others, how can we engage together in community? What that looks like. Some of it, of course, looked very similar to what always was done. Some things, at least here at Central, never shut down. They just continued. Other things have changed, but are still happening. And some things we're doing now and engaging in new ways we could not have dreamed of before the pandemic. All of the various ways we engage one another in community is engaging in Christ. It's being the means of grace to one another. We can do that the same way the shepherds did. For the shepherds, it says the glory of God surrounded them, and then it didn't leave. How was God remaining present among them, even when the angels were not? Because the world changed. It's what we call the incarnation, God becoming human. And when we talk about Jesus' incarnation, and see God become human, I think sometimes we think that means, of course, God became one human, that baby in the manger. And while it's true God became that human, God also became all of humanity. The divine is present in every one of you, humans. And so the glory of God is around and among these shepherds? Well, yes. That's that which emanates from the presence of God is Christ's incarnation. In the way God became human, for us, in our context, we call it being Christ to one another. Christ is active in us and with us right now, right here where we are. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. For the shepherds, the incarnation was hours old. For us, it's over 2,000 years. But for all of us, it's God who is in us, among us, and with us. It's God who is empowering us to act in our world. The shepherds find the baby. That's how God acted in that community. We're in a new community. God will act in us every day of our lives. But in what way? How is the incarnation made alive in us this Christmas? Sometimes it looks like charges to go out there and do something like those shepherds did, to show grace to others through action. Sometimes it might look more like having the grace to be cared for and visited by others. But in every setting in our life, we are able to express who God is to someone else. This will be a sign for you. Christ is alive in you. You are Christ to one another, and another is Christ to you. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our next hymn.